Hey guys, welcome to another Robbie Raz Roundtable. We're getting this show started again after, like a 6 month hiatus, something like that.
Nine.
Oh, maybe it's.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. Yeah, this is actually how Dustin got his start.
Yeah, I haven't used it since.
Awesome. So yeah, welcome to another Robbie Raz Roundtable. On CigarFederation.com. Today we are going to cover three different cigars. We've got three different people. We're going to probably get three different opinions, although I think there's one that we all really like. I'm Rob from Robbie Raz Reviews, also from Cigar Federation. Let's see, I'll just go down the line here. We've got Dustin. Dustin, introduce yourself.
I'm Dustin. I like cigars, and I write stuff for Cigar Federation about tasting sausage.
Awesome. Yeah. Not wiener sausage.
Yeah. Not wiener sausage, mild Italian sausage that has little sprigs of rosemary in it. Little ones like this that burst in your mouth and, yeah, are awesome.
Yeah, I'm already uncomfortable. And we got we've got Logan. You guys all know Logan from his time on Cigar Chat. Logan, how are you today?
I am just fabulous, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well.
Good.
Yeah, so let's see. Today we are going to cover, we've got, like I said, three different cigars. We're going to cover the initial release from Cabal. It's a new cigar from the Kellner Boutique Factory. We are going to cover the Liga Privada number 9, which don't really even need to explain it. You guys all know what that is. And we're going to cover the, can you tell I'm looking at my notes? It's not very sly. Like, I didn't realize how defined that is in the camera when I look over to my left.
Podcast doesn't matter.
It's true, yeah. And we're going to cover the La Aurora Maduro, 107 Maduro from Miami Cigar Company. So let's start with, let's just jump right in. We'll get started with the Cabal. I smoked the short Robusto. I'm not sure which one you guys started with. I'll start with Logan. Logan, give us your kind of your impressions of it.
Well, let me just say this: it's not a bad cigar. When I smoked at IPCPR, I think it kind of head faked me a little bit because I had smoked about 50 Inceptions, and it was like the first thing I smoked after it. So I was like, "Wow, this is completely different. This is good. It's a change of pace. This is nice." But when I actually smoked it on a clean palate, I think there's a reason why Dustin likes it, and I do not. I do not. I mean,
glad we started with you.
Yeah. Well, I know. I mean, but I'm a horse of a different color, I guess. Like, you know, and throughout the review, I mean, construction was fine. You know, I smoked it early morning, which for me, it's the only time I could really smoke it with a cup of Earl Grey. You know, when I kind of nosed the cigar a little bit into the cold draw, I almost got like kind of a wet fungus, and it's not because of my humidor. I mean, it was almost like mushrooms, kind of, like portobello mushrooms. I mean, I kind of compare it to when I was in Ireland, like in the coast. You know what I mean, Rob? You get that kind of like wet, kind of wet smell.
Well, the smell you're talking about in Ireland is going to be peat. That's the peat.
Well, then maybe it was peat. I don't know. Wet fungus / peat.
Okay.
I don't really know. But there's a lot more spice up front than I expected. You know, it's kind of earthy, had a little bit of dough. Kind of almost tastes like yeast, sort of. And then, honestly, it was just right off the bat. I could tell it wasn't Nicaraguan, and then I just kind of said, okay.
Then you just kind of tuned out.
Then I just kind of tuned out. I mean, you know, there's a few notes of tea in there a little bit woodsy. It was just very light, you know what I mean? But one thing I did like is the QR code on the band was pretty legit. Not that my phone can actually look at it because of a BlackBerry, but it was pretty cool.
Yeah, we were all at IPCPR back in May or June? July.
Dude, yeah. July, dog.
Yeah. It's already Christmas. Who knows? So back in July, and we met the owner of Cabal. And like I said, this is a new cigar company. He's actually got two different blends, and I haven't smoked the second one yet that he gave us some samples of.
I haven't either. I still have
the Esoteric.
The Esoteric? Yeah.
I gave it away.
I've still got that one sitting there. I don't know what the difference is in the blend. but the blend on this one, this is a Dominican Puro. Dustin, you probably know more about the blend and things like that on this one. I should let you talk about that.
That would require me going back to my review to look at it, but
Well, just tell us your opinions, and I'll pull up all the specifics.
First off, I want to ask you two. You guys both smoked a short Robusto, right?
Correct.
Did you guys notice that it was really, like, for even though not full for Logan's taste, was it full and kind of stronger up front?
It was.
Compared to the other size. Compared to the other side.
I had the Corona, and the Corona didn't come out fast at all. It was, like, really mild at first. And when we had the short Robustos that I reviewed were totally different. It was almost a different cigar, in all honesty.
So
it was kind of weird.
Now.
Like I kind of felt like the short Robusto was blended for more for a modern, you know, Logan type guy that wants a little bit of pop up front. And the Corona, I was surprised at how mild it was at first. It kind of changed halfway through and started picking up. But I got what I have here is buttery, nutty, mild goodness and vanilla undertones. But for me, I mean, for what I like, yeah, I mean, I'd love that shit. all day, and so, you know, I mean, I could smoke it all day long. I'm just kind of torn between whether or not I think I like the short Robusto more, in all honesty, because it is, it had so much up front, and the Corona, to me, I want to say, kind of reminded me of like a classic Avo blend, not Avo Classic, but more along those lines, whereas the short Robusto really stood out to me as more of a had a little bit more uniqueness to it, I guess.
Yeah, I think I actually agree with you, and I didn't really think of it in those terms, but I did like the Robusto, short Robusto, significantly better than the Corona.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like I when I smoked the Corona, I was like, you know, I'll put it to you this way: I could tell you that I have cigars that taste like it in my humidor right now. You know what I mean? Like I have other cigars kind of like that. And that's not saying anything bad about it. It's a great smoke. But the short Robusto, no, that's a very unique smoke in and of its own right. So I think it just kind of shows you how different the blends can be in the different sizes and whatnot.
It's funny. The way that I wrote it down in my notes and the review that I'm writing up was I equated it to – I tend to bring things back to sports, you know, my background a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I equated it to pitching backwards. Like, because like you did say, it did start off a lot stronger. And then it toned down, and then it got a lot more flavor. So in essence, it's like pitching backwards, where you use your strikeout pitch early, and then you're pitching off the split finger, whatever your strikeout pitch is. So it peaked at the beginning from a strength standpoint, and then it did tone down. I noted that, but I didn't really think of it in the terms that you'd mentioned it. But it makes a lot of sense.
Well, I think you know that'll grab more smokers who aren't necessarily, like, I gravitate towards Dominican shit. I mean, I had three cigars that night that Logan gave it to me, and I still freaked out and, you know, fell in love with it. I gravitate towards that shit, so I'm a little bit biased in that regard. I think that cigar will hit people. It'll hit a lot more people than the Corona will. The Corona will hit the classic Dominican guy. I think the short will hit more palates, really.
Yeah, it can bring folks who are into that Nicaraguan tobacco, they can smoke it and not maybe just not gloss over it. I mean, maybe not for everybody, because I know Logan likes the heavy hitters, but I think it's interesting. I kind of fall in between Dustin and Logan in this one. I really liked it. I don't love it as much as as Dustin does, but I didn't hate it like Logan did.
One out to it every night.
I don't. It's disgusting.
Hey, I'm just saying.
Oh, man.
Hey.
Yeah, moving on. So for me, I'm just looking back at my notes. I got a ton of different flavors, and a lot of the stuff that Logan was talking about that I got on the when just smelling the cigar and the cold draw. I got a lot of spice, and that's generic, but it was more of like a baking spice, leather notes and some earthy notes. And there was the cold draw for me was really floral, and that's not something that I usually pick up on. But it was really unique. I mean, there was a lot of floral notes, baking spice. There was like a mild milk chocolate to me in the background.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're different wrappers.
The two different cigars? I don't think they are.
Well, I know the smoking jacket, he's got two different wrappers. He's got a different wrapper for his short Robusto than he does for the Corona.
Maybe. We're gonna have Cabal on the cigar chat here pretty soon, so we'll talk to him.
We should ask him that because like your notes on the short are like nothing like what I had on the Corona, and you and I, even though our notes might be different, they still always tend to seem to go along the same, you know, general lines. I might call it caramel, you might call it nougat. You know,
I like nougat. I just like saying that word.
Nougat.
Noogies. But you know, once I got towards the middle, it really settled into some stuff that you had mentioned, Dustin, kind of like a honey toasted, like a piece of toast with some honey on it.
Yeah.
Like that was how it tasted to me once I got past that initial blast of flavor. And I don't know if it was a blast of strength at the beginning as much as it was a blast of flavor. And it did mellow out towards the middle. And I did notice that once I got past like the midsection there, there was a kind of a white spice that picked up for me. So it was toasty. It had that kind of honey sweetness to it, and there was a white spice that picked up on the background. Never got overpowering, and the retrohale stayed pretty smooth for me, but there was a nice little spice. I felt like the balance was great.
Yeah. I definitely think that the Robusto has better balance than the Corona. The Corona was really, I don't want to say it was one-dimensional, but there wasn't a lot of, it didn't blow my mind like the short did.
Yeah. You know? Okay. So I think the consensus is, Logan, this isn't something that you're going to buy again, right?
No.
Yeah, you're not going to go out of your way to track it down. Who would you recommend it to?
Everyone but me.
So everyone should buy it. Okay, that's a good
It's not a bad cigar. I mean, I enjoyed it. And I mean, the short Robusto, I had the blast of pepper up front, and it was kind of like you said, Rob, and kind of in reverse, right? Because most cigars build as they go versus being strong up front. But, I mean, it wasn't a bad cigar. And, you know, in the right situation, after I've nuked my palate with, like, 17 Jomevu, then, it's a nice change of pace. But, you know, it's just not something that, you know, it's going to be normal in my warehouse. I mean, I respect it. I mean, I'd smoke it again, but it wouldn't be something I'd ever seek out.
Yeah. And, Dustin, you're probably the exact opposite.
Yeah, I'm going to buy a box of the short Robusto, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see myself doing that, too.
Yeah, no, I want to have a box of each one of the KBF lines, and I wanted to wait until I had the Corona to decide which one I'd rather buy. Mm-hmm. And even though the Corona was actually more my cup of tea as far as what I like, I already have that covered. Like, that wheelhouse I kind of have covered in my humidor already. The short Robusto is unique enough to me that it gives me a very interesting cigar in my humidor that I think, you know, I could hand that to a lot of other aficionados, and I think they'd at least appreciate it for what it is. You know,
my price point's really good too.
Logan, I would just dip it in some gasoline and tell them to smoke it in minutes.
Only kerosene, bro. But I will say this: the price point's really good too on it.
Yeah, the price
$6.5.
What is
it? It's a good price.
$6 or something like that.
Six and a half bucks.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's MSRP, bitches.
There's smaller cigars too, so you can take that into account. KBF that Dustin references, the Kellner Boutique Factory in the Dominican, and right now they've got they're making three different cigars. Dustin, as far as I know,
Dominican heroes by any means. That may be the Brazilian wrapper that's on it. I'm not sure, but he uses a Brazilian wrapper. He's got a. Some of the stuff comes from him and his sister have a farm in the Dominican. They have some stuff from Nicaragua. I want to say there's Pennsylvania in the Cabal. I can't remember.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. The wrapper on the one that you reviewed, which I think was the short Robusto, exclusive Dominican Baneo.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's the one that comes from their family farm.
Okay. High priming.
Hendrick's sister grows it.
Okay. And the had a double binder of it was Peruvian and Dominican. The
that's
filler was
sweetness.
Okay. The filler was Nicaraguan, Pennsylvania, and Dominican. So you get the filler. That's where some of that spice is coming from. So it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm curious about that wrapper though. So yeah, we've got a lot to talk about when we have. And I can't remember that guy's first name. Is it Chris?
Chris Adolfo.
Okay, and so I did remember it. Damn, I sold myself out. Okay, so we'll talk to Chris about that. I know we've got him coming up on Cigar Chats in November. So that'll be something to look forward to. So let's move on because we're running out of time. Well, we're about halfway through. Which one do you want to talk about, Logan? I'm going to leave it up to you.
Let's do the 107, and I want to hear what Jared has to think. Jared, shit. Dustin
Jared's not even on the show.
I know he's not.
Dustin, tell us.
Stink eye, bro.
He is giving you the stink eye. I can't even see it,
so it doesn't matter.
It's kind of intense.
You can't see anything. Is this a censored show or not?
No.
Censored enough to not do what you're going to do.
Okay.
Okay, so let's talk about the La Aurora 107 Maduro.
Okay, so, yes, I am the resident Dominican fanboy. Sig Fed. I'm smoking a wonderful La Aurora Connecticut Perforator right now because I love them so much.
Nice.
Very smooth, spicy kick I believe I got from the wrapper. Excellent balance. I actually paired it with a Coke Zero, and it was really good with that. I just randomly had it. It did burn a little funky. Bad enough that I would have noted in a review, but nothing, you know, that prevented me from enjoying it. And it just was a really, really smooth, medium kind of cocoa Maduro. From my thoughts about it really were, it didn't blow my mind, but I also really enjoyed it. So, you know, and I don't smoke a lot of Maduro in all honesty. I maybe smoke one or two a month at the most. So I'm a little bit pickier about Maduros, really. And I actually like their Preferido Maduro.
That's a good cigar.
Yeah, no, it's great. I love it. So the 107, I thought, was for the money, was a really, really good smoke. And it's a good medium. So, you know, people who don't like spicy cigars, I think, would dig it because it has enough spice to kind of excite your palate a little bit, but not too much to blow you away. And it definitely had some of those traditional Dominican flavors in it that I associate with La Aurora. So I liked it. I mean, I wouldn't like go out of my way to buy a ton of them again, but I have a couple more that I'll experiment with down the road and see if a little bit of age puts them where I like them. But, you know, it's not a bad cigar at all by any means. If you're a Maduro fan and you like medium, definitely try it without a doubt.
Yeah, I think my experience was pretty similar. Let's just give some of the specs on the cigar. Connecticut broadleaf wrapper, Dominican Corojo binder. The filler is Dominican and Nicaraguan. 4.5 by 50, so it's like almost a petite Robusto, short Robusto. MSRP is just around $6. So not going to break your bank. It's definitely an affordable cigar. I got a lot of the typical Maduro flavors from this. I mean, there was a certain amount of sweetness. There was a little bit of spice on the front, a little bit kind of like a cinnamon spice. You know, as I kind of smoked through it, the smoke was real thick. There was some white spice on the retro and some earthy notes that kicked in right around the 1-inch mark, like an earthy. I don't really even know how to describe it other than just to call it earthy, which is kind of – Logan and I actually had this conversation the other day. Earthy for me isn't really one flavor. It's kind of a combination of things. There's that – it's a heavy flavor for me. There's it's not like dirt, but it's kind of got like a heavy wood note to it. And to me that conjures up those images of being earthy. still looking at my notes here. Got a little bit more of that warm spice that I had at the beginning that kind of kicked in more in the middle. Coffee notes picked up for me in the middle. And it ended really with like a strong molasses Maduro sweetness for me. I mean, that's kind of like you said, there was not, I mean, I did mention a little bit of spice. It's more of like a baking kind of spice, like a cinnamon. Yeah. There was no pepper really at all.
No pepper. I mean, baking spice is a good term.
It's a generic term, but it's like I mean, I'm not going to say it tasted like nutmeg or cardamom or whatever. I don't mean that type of stuff. I'm not getting that specific with it. I just mean it's kind of like a warmer spice with that cinnamon type flavor to it. You know, like when somebody's baking cookies, it kind of tasted like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was a good cigar. The smoke was, it was thick smoke. It was creamy. It had a good retrohale, very little spice. I mean, I think Dustin and I kind of had a similar reaction to it. What did you think, Logan?
I think about the same. I mean, I thought something interesting about it is it's got a very, 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 very dark wrapper. And it was weird. It almost like the way it caught the light is almost like it glistened, almost like it had glitter on it. I mean, I know it didn't, but it was just the way it caught
it. Like the guy in Twilight?
Yeah, just like Edward. Just, I mean, kind of just like that, actually. Like, and it was somewhat reminiscent. I mean, it wasn't as splotchy necessarily, but it kind of reminded me of the Liga Privada number 9 wrapper, and just in kind of the feel. But, you know, cold draw, kind of notes of tobacco, sweetness, and earth. I mean, I got a few, when I lit, you know, pepper, I mean, a tad bit up front. There's a little bit of leather. And, you know, really, it was kind of from the, I don't know, kind of the second, third, and onward. It was just kind of like Rob said, it had the typical Maduro sweetness. I actually wrote down sorghum, and that just kind of shows you how much of a redneck I am.
What did you write down?
Sorghum.
What the hell is that?
Do you know what I'm talking about, Dustin?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's what they used to flavor, like, you know, things with back in like the 1880s. And we used to plant stuff out for the deers and like, so they'd go up and eat it. Cause it's like just, it's a real like overpowering sweetness almost. But it reminded me of that. I mean, it was definitely medium in strength. Like, you know, price point and everything was good. I mean, it was very earthy, you know, very sweet. It didn't really change all that much for me. In the end, I kind of was just like, meh, you know. It was good. I mean, it was okay. Like, but it's not anything where I'm just like, hold the phones. This thing is blowing my mind.
Yeah. Okay.
But for a $6 cigar, you know, why not?
Okay. No, it's funny. Like, I think we're a little bit spoiled because
I think you're probably right.
Because, it is a good cigar. But
yeah, it is, but
it didn't.
Good's a stretch.
Well, it's a good smoke. It's a medium balanced Maduro that has typical Maduro flavors. But for us, you know, we smoked so many damn different ones that when you say it's typical, it really didn't blow my mind. But, like, I mean, it's hard for me to compare it to, you know, a Padron or like the 100 Años Maduro that blew my mind. You know?
Yeah.
Those are $15-$20.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's weird. There's a lot of competition in that price point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, for example, the Preferidos, which is about $5, that Preferidos Maduro, I think, is a fantastic Maduro for $5. So if I had to choose between one or the other, I'd probably choose the Preferidio, you know?
Yeah.
Thank you. I think we are spoiled because, I mean, yeah, you're right. It's not a bad cigar, but, I mean, I think it's just with people who smoke a lot of cigars and people who are kind of cigar nerds. Like, I would say to someone who doesn't smoke or know a lot about cigars, they're going to really, really like this cigar. And they're going to be like, man, this thing's awesome. But for someone like us, it's going to say, it's okay.
Well, Logan, we are not cigar nerds. We are cigar hipsters.
Uber nerd. Oh, hipsters.
I'm trying to get the quotes on here. Hipsters. Hipsters. That's what we are, dude. That's what I am.
I don't even really know what a hipster is.
Me neither. We didn't have any pants or anything.
To be totally honest.
Skinny jeans.
No skinny jeans. I mean, I was wearing boots and I had a hidden bottle of Jameson. That's
nice.
Right on.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic. Okay, so Logan, what's your do you see yourself checking this thing out in the future?
Doubtful.
Who would you recommend it to? These are the standard questions I'm going to ask you when you're done, so you can just kind of...
Okay, so I can just kind of expect it from now on?
You can
just
plan ahead, yeah, plan ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that I would never smoke one, and I would say this, if I was in a, like, I would never seek it out, but if I was in a shop and I saw it and they weren't price gouging me and it was like $5 or $6, I'd probably pick one up, but it wouldn't be more than one. But I would say everyone should try the cigar because, I mean, it's definitely a good enough cigar where most people are going to find it, you know, for that price point, it's very good. You know, there's not much in that range, I think, that can compete with it, but considering what we typically smoke, I would be kind of like, yeah, I'd rather grab something else.
Okay. All right, what about you, Dustin?
Yeah, you know, I would definitely recommend anybody to try it, and I think Dominican fans and old school guys who aren't looking for the spicier, you know, full body Maduro, but want a Maduro, I think it's a great representation of Maduro and Connecticut broadleaf wrapper. You know, so anybody who likes that kind of stuff, I would definitely say try it. You know, I think me for Maduro, I tend to lean towards the San Andreas. Most of the Maduros I have are all San Andreas. I don't really like Connecticut broadleaf too much. But anybody who does, I don't see any reason why. You know, if I was looking at that or a number nine and paying twice as much, I can't justify too much of it. But, you know, whatever. I mean, I would think, like, okay, whatever. I feel like a Maduro, I wouldn't mind grabbing it. You know, I'm not going to go crazy and buy a box, but I love the other stuff from La Aurora, so it was definitely good.
And for me, it would be – this is actually something – and this might surprise you guys. It's something I could see myself buying a box of. I like the size of it. I mean, I smoked it in about 45 minutes. It's the kind of thing that if my brother-in-law comes over and we're just hanging out and he wants to have a cigar, we can have that, and I know that he can handle it because I don't think it was too strong. Just definitely a medium body with a ton of flavor. So I think that it's the kind of thing that he could enjoy. And I know I have those times where I open up my humidor and I'm overwhelmed, where it's like, I don't know what the hell I want to smoke.
Yeah.
And in times like that, I know I could grab one and I would be satisfied with it. And we just talked about this on Cigar Chat with Eric from Cigar Dojo.
The Doge.
When he was saying if there was something that you go to, like his go-to was the...
something weird I never even heard of.
No, it's the Espinosa.
Oh, Habano. The Habano, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the kind of thing I could see myself...
That's a good cigar.
Yeah, but we're not talking about that cigar right now, but it's a good cigar. But I could see myself where it's like, if I don't really know what I want, I could grab this and I know I'd be satisfied with it. I think it's the kind of thing that a lot of people on Cigar Federation will like.
Okay.
Because it's the kind of cigar that's gonna give you all those flavors for a lot of cigars that are more expensive than it, and it'll deliver for the price.
Yeah,
and especially with it's fall now with the weather changing, you can get out and have a 45-minute smoke and not freeze your baguettes off. Then you're gonna be pretty good. That's from Christmas Vacation.
That's awesome, dude.
I love that movie. I'm so excited. That's like my favorite part of Christmas is being able to watch that. I think it's a really good cigar for taking into the price point. I mean, am I going to compare it to a Padron? No, I'm not going to, because it's not the same thing. The target's not the same. The goal isn't the same. Yeah. I think the goal was to develop a Maduro with nice flavors at a nice price point, and I think they nailed it.
Price to value ratio is very good.
Yeah, that's my opinion. So the next one we've got is the Liga Privada number 9 from Drew Estate. I actually pulled up the Drew Estate website here so I can make sure that I've got all of the blend summary correct. So the wrapper is a Connecticut Broadleaf number 1 Darks. The binder is a plantation grown Brazilian Matafina. And the filler is select Honduran and Nicaraguan Cuban seed. Now, their taste profile says lush, earthy, and espresso-like with incredibly dense body. Incredibly dense body is probably the best way to describe the cigar, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to go through, and you guys are doing a better job of remembering your notes than I am. I'm actually reading
them. That's because I have my phone in my hand and you can't see it.
Oh, you're just cheating. Okay. You're a better cheater than I am. Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I am.
The wrapper, super oily. Construction's great. I mean, the wrapper to me, again, that warm spice flavor had a lot of cedar. And that warm, earthy notes, again, for me, I got to figure out a better way to describe that, I think. The main stuff that I got right off the bat is, I mean, flavor, big-time flavor right off the bat. I mean, right, the first puff is tons and tons of flavor, lots of pepper, wood, molasses, got an espresso coffee bean, some dark chocolate in there, and there's a pepper that sits, like a black pepper that sits right in the back, right on your tongue. Just a ton of stuff to kind of dig through right in the first few puffs. And for me, it kind of stayed pretty consistent throughout. I mean, some things are going to come and go, but it was mainly those, I mean, you get that black pepper on the back, some wood flavor, some molasses notes, espresso, and dark chocolate. And those are the things that were the main flavor notes for me throughout the whole thing. I would consider this more of a full-strength cigar. Logan might disagree with me.
medium to full.
Yeah, no. For me it was pretty full body. I mean, or full strength. I mean, it was it had enough. It really got my attention. Definitely full flavored. I mean, there was never one puff where I didn't sit there and think, "Wow, there's this." It's like every time you take a bite out of a really good steak, you're always saying,
Yeah, it's a good way.
It was like that. It was like that for me. It was like every time, it's like, and smack your lips a little bit. You get a few different things.
You do.
Always something different sitting on the retro. I paired it just with water, which is almost kind of a sin. I mean, you got to pair this with something because it's screaming to be paired with some bourbon, if you ask me. Or even some rum. I like pairing everything with rum now. But, I mean, for the water, I really wanted to make sure I didn't cover up any of the any of those flavors. I mean, that was my experience. I mean, the espresso, the molasses, and the chocolate together is three things that I don't know if you really expect to go well together. I guess you would, but dude, it's such a good cigar. People go nuts over this thing for a reason. That's my opinion. I'm curious to see what Dustin thinks. I think I know Logan's opinion.
Well, I paired mine with some Brugal with Dominican rum.
Oh, okay.
Why? I don't know. They were sitting there, so I grabbed them.
Because you love everything Dominican.
Before we get on to Dustin's, and we're pushing it with time, but Isaac Nothing is watching while we're recording.
He commented. We were doing this privately.
He commented that anybody can watch it on Google Plus.
Right.
He commented that sorghum is unrefined molasses.
Oh,
so, there you go.
There you go. So that makes sense. Anyway, go ahead, Dustin.
Okay, so I have dry, smooth Maduro flavors. I don't think it's an overly complex cigar, but I mean that as far as like. It doesn't change a lot. It's extremely consistent.
I would agree with that.
Creamy, smooth, a really wonderful underlying sweetness. It's always had that. I mean, I've been through several boxes of the number 9 in different Vitolas. I think sometimes it leaves a little bit of a heavy finish in the back of your mouth for me, which is why I would classify it as a medium full. And I really, really, honestly, I think it's something that needs a pair. For me. And I say that because it literally, like, if you pair that with a peaty scotch, like Lafroy, for example, unbelievable.
Really?
The greatest pair ever. I love them. That's, like, the only time I like to smoke them. But I don't really smoke them very often before. I actually gave my last one away to Matt right before we did this, and then obviously I needed one, so Logan sent me one. But
you're welcome.
Thank you, sir. You know, it's my only beef with it would be the price, really. And I hate chasing stuff down. And, like, you know, if I want to buy one or two, are they worth retail? Yeah, they are. Absolutely. It's freaking fantastic. Is it worth trying to find one or paying 15 to 18 bucks in a B&M? Hell no. I mean, it's not worth that to me. Especially when the Pop Fritas, which I just had from you this weekend, was amazingly, extremely close.
Wow, I couldn't disagree with that even more. But go ahead, we'll talk about that later.
Profiles.
Okay.
It's a great smoke. I mean, I can't. I recommend it to anybody and everybody, hands down.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got. If that's what you want, it's got it there. And you can smoke them in the morning. I think it's smooth enough to smoke in the morning with coffee. Yet bold enough to eat after a delicious steak with a spicy scotch or rum or whiskey or bourbon, whatever, you know. I mean, you could really smoke it any time of the day, in all honesty. Yeah, you definitely need a full breakfast if you're going to smoke it in the morning, but maybe not Logan, but I could easily smoke it in the morning. It's that smooth, you know what I mean?
I agree.
I just think for me it needs that. If I smoke it with ice water, it's going to be a little too heavy for me. When I throw a rum or a scotch or a coffee with it, where it just cleans the back of my palate out and kind of intermingles with those espresso and nut and creamy flavors that it has, that it just has so much of that. You know what I mean? It's so heavy that it can almost overpower you a little bit. And I think that's why when people first smoke it, they freak out, because not a lot of other cigars have that much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like it just delivers everything to you all at once. Like, here you go. Deal with it. You know what I mean? And that's why it's a freaking great smoke, and that's why people buy the shit out of it. You know what I mean? I do. I smoke boxes of that shit.
That's funny. All right, Logan, what'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with anything you guys said. I mean, I think that one of the coolest features about the wrapper, and I wrote down, is, like, it's almost impenetrable by, like, water. Because, you know, when I cut my cigar, I always lick the top and I use my cutters to cut it up. And water almost won't penetrate into it. I said it's like a London fog, like, rain jacket. Like, it's just weird. It's, like, so oily and dark, man. It's just, I don't know, it's weird. But, you know, I'd call it, like, you know, medium plus. But, you know, I mean, all the, you know, the cocoa, the coffee notes are all the same. I think one thing that stands out for me is that I drink a lot of sweet tea, maybe just because I'm a redneck. But I think it's very easy to tell if there's a Mazzafina binder on it. Like, I think the sweetness really comes through, and I think that's pretty evident. And there's what you said about it being, like, creamy, and you can really smoke it, like, any time of the day. Like, I agree. But it's, like, you know, it's meaty enough where, you know, after I night, my wife cooks me breakfast every day. But after any time I eat, I know I'm fucking spoiled, man. But, you know, anytime, you know, it can satisfy, but then, you know, it's not going to overpower you in the morning. I think it's a great smoke. I think one thing I think is really interesting or weird about the Nye and the T52 is that there's just a ton of resting smoke on it. Like, when you put it down your ashtray, it's just going. It's wild. It does. It really does bellow. And I hate trying to get the bands off these damn things.
Yes,
I don't know why. Do you agree? Dude, it's such a pain in the ass, man, because I like to save all my bands. It's a fucking shit show.
All of them.
All
the damn bands are a pain in the ass to get off.
You know what? I will say one thing about it, and I think...
it's a beautiful band.
It's good-looking bands, and the packaging and everything. Everything that Drew Estate does with Liga Privada is obviously right, because everybody wants it. I think it's got something to do with the paper that's used and how oily the wrapper is. Because the paper, I mean, if you have one and you let it sit for a little while,
paper will change color. It'll turn.
It
like
starts to turn color. Like yellowish and then orange. I mean, I've got some that have been sitting there probably way too long. Because you're supposed to smoke these right when you get them. I mean, they're ready to go. They're not. You don't need to age them, which is hard because, like you said, they're not cheap. So it's hard to buy something that's expensive and then just fire it right up. But I think that might have something to do with the wrappers coming off, because the wrappers are always hard to take off on these things, and they always end up tearing. But I mean, I don't really care. Or not the wrapper, a band. I mean, I don't really care. I don't save my bands, and Logan does.
Yeah, it's just a pain.
Yeah,
it's a hassle.
Yeah, I like them to just slide off, and these never do.
Yeah, me too.
That's definitely for sure. Logan, what's the you know this stuff? What is the MSRP on these?
It ranges per Vitola, but it ranges anywhere from like $9 to $12.
Okay. Yeah. Which and Vitola did you guys smoke?
Robusto.
Which is my favorite, honestly.
My
favorite too.
I think the Robusto is the best Vitola.
Mm-hmm. I think they're better fresh. They are better fresh.
I think that's one of the reasons why I stopped buying them, is because I bought a couple boxes and they went so downhill after 6 months. It was like, if I feel like smoking one, I'll just buy one. And if they're nice and greasy when you first get them, they're unreal.
Yeah.
They just smoke like crazy, and they're like oily as hell. I mean, you can see the oil around the ring of the foot.
Yeah.
Almost like boiling out of the wrapper. It's crazy.
Yeah, they're definitely ready to be smoked right when you get them, and I actually smoked the Robusto as well. So for me, I mean, this is, definitely I'll buy it again. In fact, I'll probably buy a box in the very near future. It's the kind of thing that I could smoke it every day and be totally happy. I mean, I could roll out of bed, and I did get to go down to the factory and everything, and back in May, and that was that's what I did. I rolled out of bed and I smoked one with breakfast. That's spoiled, and if I could afford to do that every day, I would.
Rub it in, jerk.
I'd go through a box of these a week if I could. easy. I don't think I'd. I wouldn't. There's other things that I like, and there's other things that I'd want to smoke just to mix it up. But if this were my go-to daily cigar, life would be pretty good.
Life would be fucking damn good.
Yeah. And I think everybody should try it. I mean, if you haven't, then you should. If you have, then and you haven't smoked it in a while, get another one because they're probably
always has singles in pretty regularly too. If you just check on their website, the last few times I had ordered them, there because I could get just a couple singles. You know what I mean?
Which is hard finding them.
Yeah, they're hard to come by. I mean, I'm lucky enough to have a B&M that carries them pretty regularly.
The nine's easier. They still are doing producing the nine, but the T52, they're still producing, but they're on hold right now for whatever reason. So it's easy enough to get the 9, but when you start looking at the T52 or T52 the rats or whatever, much harder.
Well, the rats, Well, we're not going to get into all that. But okay, so Logan, what are your final thoughts on it?
If you haven't smoked it, you're kind of an idiot. It's well worth, and it's actually kind of fun trying to find them, you know. I mean, don't pay over MSRP. Don't be one of those guys that go on CigarBid that just pay an absorbent amount of money to get it. It's a lot more fun getting in a cigar community and trying to weasel it out of them. Like, you know, like honestly, Rob, you've facilitated several trades my way, and I just haggle these people. If you get them, you get them. You don't, you don't. But I'm telling you, it's worth smoking at least one. They're expensive, but they're definitely worth it. I mean, price to value is very good. I will say that I have smoked through probably, I think I've smoked two boxes of nines, and I'm definitely kind of moving towards the T52. And that's my new choice.
That's your new jam. Fair enough. I think I would agree that I prefer the T52 over the nine. But it's not by leaps and bounds. And I don't think either one of them are going away anytime soon. So,
no.
So I don't think it's going to come down to a decision like that. And yeah, I mean, like you said, get onto Cigar Federation. I mean, we've got people are doing trades and see pictures and stuff like that all the time. So if there's stuff you want to try, get on there and make some trades with people. You can find a way to try some stuff that maybe, you know, your budget doesn't account for or you just don't have it anywhere near you. All right, well, Dustin, we'll finish up with you. What'd you think? Final thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I obviously I'd recommend it to anybody. I've always enjoyed the smoke. I think it's a great cigar. I'd say I like it better than the T52. I think it's unbelievable with a PD Scotch.
I'm gonna try that. I've got just enough
with Lafrague.
Like two glasses of Lafrague left.
Oh, it's unreal.
And especially
after doing like that, that's what got me hooked on it. In all honesty,
I'm gonna have to try that because that's Lafrague. Logan, I don't think you've ever had Lafrague. It is the peatiest, one of the peatiest scotches you can find. I mean, it
tastes like okra mesquite, literally. Like
it is smoky as all get out. But that's interesting. I never would have thought to pair that with any cigar, really.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Curious. I'll have to do it.
Anyways, I'd recommend it for that. For me, I mean, like I said, it's hard for me to invest in it long term because I think they do go downhill. So it's just one of those things. When I feel like it, I'll grab one. Or if I'm got a hankering, I'll just trade somebody for one.
Yeah.
You know, couple here or there. I was actually in the Drew Estate line. I would say I'm more attracted to the FFP. And I was really pleasantly surprised with the profile of the Papa Fritas. As far as, I mean, it's not the same in terms of complexity and all that and depth, but for just kind of that general flavor, it gave it to me. So it was good enough that I'm going to buy a couple tins of those just to have them store them away. I love the flavor of their Connecticut Broadleaf. I think they do a great Connecticut Broadleaf. And their resting smoke and the construction is something that when I first started reviewing, I kind of judged cigars off of that. Because they do it so well, you know, as far as their combustion, I think, is the best in the business to
it's
a degree.
It's really good.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me not to judge everybody else off of that. They kind of set a standard in that regard in the industry. And I think what they're doing in the industry is really good as far as, even though I'm not a huge fan of their stuff, I don't have a bunch of their stuff in my humidors anymore, they've kind of set a gold standard for everybody else to shoot for, you know?
That's true.
And everybody else is trying to do what they're doing, and they still keep doing it. And I mean, I don't know. Bitch and smoke. That's all I'll say.
That's a good way to end it.
I'm not going to say you're stupid if you don't smoke it.
You are stupid.
But I'm gonna say you should fucking smoke that, bro. Right at my little cam.
Yeah, that's good. Well, let's see. We've gone about 25 minutes over.
Awesome,
really?
Well, we went about 20. I wanted this to be about 25 minutes. We're creeping up on 45. So, I want to thank you guys for taking the time to sit down and share your feelings and thoughts with me and all of our friends over at Cigar Federation. So for those of you guys watching on Cigar Federation, thank you for the support. We appreciate it. You can find me at on Twitter at Robbie Raz. I'm on Cigar Federation as well. Dustin, you're at Catfish Blues on Twitter, Catfish Blues on Cigar Federation. Logan, what is your handle on Cigar Federation? Is it just Logan?
No, Smoking Logan, bitch.
Smoking Logan, okay. And Logan at Dell on Twitter.
Corporate Monkey.
Corporate Monkey. Those of you guys listening on the podcast, we appreciate the download. Check us out at CigarFederation.com. And we'll have another episode of the Roundtable coming up in a few weeks, featuring a couple of different guys from Cigar Federation. We'll have Matt and Surgeon will be on with us next time. I'm not sure what we're going to cover yet. So,
no Jared?
Jared's not on the next episode. Jared.
No Black and Mild?
No, we won't be talking Black and Miles. We will be or White Owls or anything like that.
Oh, shit.
The show that Jared's going to be on is with you and me.
All the PDR stuff.
And we're going to make our way through that PDR sampler. So that'll probably be at the beginning of next month.
Cool.
So, again, guys, we appreciate it. Appreciate all the support. And we'll see you guys around. Have a good weekend.
Later, bitches.
Laters.